The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, that fox Herod, who wanted to kill Jesus. Oh, that Pontius Pilate, who bowed to the will of the people and did not stand up for Jesus, even though he knew that he was an innocent man. Oh, those scribes and Pharisees, those who loved their positions of religious influence and authority and rejected Jesus and plotted against him. Woe the Sanhedrin, the ruling Jewish council, those who assembled in secret trial during the night, which was forbidden by law, to accuse Jesus and to condemn him at the hands or according to the testimony of two or three false witnesses. Oh, those high priests who were threatened by Jesus, were afraid that he would take away their places in the Jewish religious establishment and would therefore bring them to nothing. Now, all these people were involved in the conspiracy against Jesus. All these people bore guilt on account of their conspiracy. And Judas, what of him? What of Judas, who had heard Jesus preach and teach for something like 2.5-3 years, who had seen his miracles, and yet at the end sold him out for 30 pieces of silver? I'm glad I'm not like that. And I bet you're glad you aren't like that. Or are we? Do we sell out Jesus? Do we deny him? Do we turn our backs upon him from time to time? Do we despise his word, his gospel, his sacraments, instead of holding them holy and precious and sacred, because through these means, Jesus himself comes into our midst with his mercy and kindness and forgiveness and love? Do we neglect these things at times? Do we put other things in their place, more highly esteeming those other things than the gospel of God's own dear beloved Son? And could it be true of us what Paul says about some in the church in his letter to the Philippians? Many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Of course, the answer to these questions is yes. These things are true of us also. If they weren't true of us, why would we have bothered to confess our sins? Why would we say at the beginning of the service that we justly deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment, that we have sinned against him in thought, word, and deed, that we have not loved him with our whole heart, that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves? You see, to appreciate the gospel, to take hold of it with a real and lively faith, is to recognize that the law of God points its accusing finger at each one of us. By way of illustration, I'll point my finger to myself. God be merciful to me, the sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner, for the times I have failed my family. God be merciful to me for the times I have failed, done less than I should as a pastor in Christ Church. God be merciful to me because maybe there are times I think because of my status, my position as a called and ordained servant of the Word, that I somehow have a special place in God's kingdom and don't really need Jesus, and so take Jesus for granted because sometimes I may be acquainted with Him only in a professional manner. The law of God reproaches us. It reproaches us to drive us to Christ. The law of God reproaches us because our holiness is not what it should be. Our dedication and devotion to God's Word is not as it should be. We may occupy a pew for an hour or two a week, but what of the rest of the week? When we are called to live as the redeemed people of God in Christ, each and every hour and minute and second of the week. If you are familiar with the Good Friday service, you may also be familiar with a segment of that church's, of that service known as the reproaches. The reproaches are the words of the Lord against His people, the church, to which the congregation, when the reproaches are said on Good Friday, replies with a plea for mercy. I'm going to read those reproaches to you now and the responses, because they remind us of our sin. They remind us that we are like Herod in his plot against Jesus, that we are like Jerusalem, who reject the way of God for ourselves sometime, that we, as a church, fall short of what we should be. So hear these words. Take them to heart. Let them sober you to reflect upon your sin, but to reflect even more boldly upon God's answer and remedy for your sin in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Thus says the Lord, "What have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people." And then the congregation responds, "Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, leave us not to bitter death. O Lord, have mercy." And then, "Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me, for I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over and delivered me to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my word and refreshed you with living water, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink. O my people." And the response, "Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, allow us not to lose hope in the face of death and hell. Lord, have mercy." And the last reproach, "Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it?
When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people. And the response, Holy Lord God, Holy and mighty God, Holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. We reproach ourselves here in the church because we have not loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Because we have spoken against one another, the redeemed of Christ. And in doing so, we have spoken against the Lord God who has placed his name upon each of us in holy baptism. And in doing so, we walk as enemies of the cross of Christ by which each one of us has been redeemed. Get away from here, the Pharisees came and said to Jesus, for Herod wants to kill you. You get away from here, they commanded Jesus. Get out of here. Go your own way. But Jesus responded to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course, as in, it is finished. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Notice how Jesus stands up to the threat that the Pharisees convey to him when they say, get out of here, Herod wants to kill you. Jesus responded, you tell him that I'm going to finish the course my father has set for me. And just as your father, Herod Antipas, was not able to kill me when I was a babe in Bethlehem, no one is going to kill me until my hour has come, until my time has come. It is God's will that I go to Jerusalem and that I suffer there and die there, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Now here the focus shifts from Herod Antipas to Jerusalem, the holy city, the place of the temple where God was present for his people, the place of sacrifice where the priests daily offered up the blood of animals to pay for sin as a down payment, as a foretoken of the coming final sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The holy city where the people, the Jewish people, came together for the major festivals. The place that bore God's name as the city he had chosen. And yet Jesus describes that city as the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Holy city indeed, huh? How about city of murderers? How could that be? How could that be that the place where God made his presence known would turn against his spokesman, would stone to death those whom he had sent to proclaim his word? How could that possibly be? And how can it possibly be of us who have been fed with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who have been washed in the cleansing water of baptism, could take the gospel so lightly and our calling as Christians so lightly that we speak evil of others, that we forget what the gospel, what this house is all about, that we do not do everything we can according to God's calling as His holy people to bring and gather people into this house where Jesus is present. If you hate your brother without cause, you are guilty of murder, Jesus says. If you are angry at your brother without cause, you are guilty of murder. And each time we reject God's way for us, this house of God becomes a city of murderers. And we walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And we deny God's purposes for ourselves. Take that to heart. This is what we are to do in Lent, to soberly reflect upon our sin, to soberly reflect upon the price Jesus paid to redeem us from our sin and guilt, to liberate us from our bondage to death and the devil and hell. Take these things to heart about yourself, so that next time you say those words, "Have mercy upon me, a sinner," you will mean it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The gospel reading for today ends. Blessed is he who comes bringing salvation to sinners of all stripes, to adulterers, to murderers, to thieves, to rapists, to homosexuals, to despisers of God's word, to those who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord to die for Herod the Great and Herod Antipas and Pilate and Judas and Peter and all those who gathered around his cross mocking him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord who says, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they do." Blessed is he who did not despise the cross, but scorned its shame for the joy set before him in saving and forgiving you and me, despite our unworthiness. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in the gift of his body and his blood today for us sinners, to make peace with us, to gather us together as his people, you and me who were enemies of his cross, you and me who sometimes take these things for granted, you and me who sometimes ask, "Communion again?" We'll put it this way, Jesus again? Jesus for you and your salvation? Jesus giving himself to you in his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins? Yes, 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 that's what this divine service is all about. That's what this house is all about. And as long as we look to Christ, who is to be at the center of our life as Mount Olive Lutheran Church, this house will not be forsaken, because the Lord promises not to forsake his people. That means you. That means me. Despite our sin, despite our unworthiness. because he set his face to Jerusalem to die for the whole world, to die for you. So you are forgiven in him. All of your sins, all of your sins. And he bestows that forgiveness upon you richly today in the Holy Sacrament for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.